Thank you, Brother Mike, for leading us today. And thank you for being here this morning. We know that there are several that are visitors from out of town, and also we're grateful that you are with us, even those who are in town as well. We want to let you know we appreciate your attendance. Hope you'll come back and be with us tonight for our services. We're going to continue our series on the book of Genesis. We're going to be looking once again and coming to a conclusion about studying about the man called Abraham tonight. So please, if you would, take advantage of that. Be with us during our Wednesday night service as well. I want to thank those for many of you that have given towards the trip to go to Guyana. And as we know, that is such a very important work. I'm going there actually to investigate and look at the opportunity that God has given us, hopefully to mentor at least two of the congregations in the interior of Guyana. Both of those little villages are about 1,000 or 2,000 each and people. And so we're going there to mentor those two congregations, ask them if they'd like for us to do that. We worked there before and hopeful that that congregation, both those congregations, will allow us to do that. So please be praying for our success as we, David Pear and I, are able to meet with the preacher and also the members there. This morning, as you notice, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts, chapter 1. We're also going to be looking at 1 Peter, chapter 3. And I hope that you have your handout with you this morning. If you have your bulletin, you look inside and you can see the outline for our lesson today, but also you can follow along with our PowerPoint. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the theology or the doctrine or the teaching of thanksgiving. And I thought it appropriate, and I've been planning on this for some time now, to talk about the theology of prayer. And I want us to do that because I want us to be able to prepare ourselves for 2020. I can't believe that 2020 is almost here. And I also can't believe that December is also here as well. The year has passed by so quickly. And so with that in mind, I want us to think about this very important subject, and we're going to talk about this morning the necessity of prayer. Now, I'm sure that you have heard, I'm sure that you have said to someone, it goes without saying. Now, it goes without saying, if you're going to jump out of a plane, you better have a parachute, right? And if you're going to move to Alaska, you better have a very warm coat. And if you're going to have others over, family members or friends over for Thanksgiving dinner with a turkey, you better have dressing and gravy, right? And also, if you're going to, by the way, get married, young people, and especially young men, you're going to have a happy life, a fulfilled life, a good marriage, you better learn how to say, yes, ma'am, right? And you're right also, you say that as well. It goes without saying that there are many things that we understand to be true. And it goes without saying that if we're going to live the Christian life, we must understand how important it is that we're going to live that life. And in that life that we live, we're going to be prayerful people. And we understand the importance of prayer. We have a knowledge of that. We have an understanding of what it means to be a prayerful person or the subject of prayer, because when you think about the theology of prayer or the doctrine of prayer or the teaching of prayer, theology simply means well, God has revealed this doctrine, this teaching, this subject to us so that we can know what His will is. And so we're striving today to make sure that we will do everything we can to understand the importance of or the necessity of prayer itself. But I'm afraid, folks, and I want you to know that I'm talking about myself this morning. I'm also pointing my fingers at me, because when it comes to the subject of prayer, it should go without saying that I understand and you understand that the value of prayer and the importance of prayer is something that we all understand. But even though that's the case, and we look at prayer as something that's very important to us and we pray often, maybe, just maybe, it's not as valuable as we think it is or it should be. Why? Because we as Christians, we as believers, and I'm including myself, because I know when it comes to the subject of prayer, I lack certain things when it comes to, and also activity, but also in its importance. And I think the reason why sometimes, many times, is because we as Christians allow the world or Satan or many other things, even our flesh, even our attitudes and things that go on in our hearts and mind, to distract us from the importance of what is called prayer. And because of that, we do not pray as we ought to. And because of that, I want us to understand the importance of it. But also, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a believer, and you are, that means that it's going to reflect in your life this subject called prayer, and people are going to see it, and they're going to observe it. Now, folks, when you think about the necessity of prayer and the value of prayer, we sang just a moment ago in our hymn. Now think about it. I need Thee every hour. Do you believe that? Is that something that you believe in, that God is someone that you can go to on a daily basis, an hourly basis, minute by minute if needed? And you call upon Him and say, I need Thee every hour. Remember some of these verses. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. Temptation lose their power when Thou art nigh. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. Those words, by the way, have meaning. That's why we sing those songs. We sing those songs because we understand that we look at prayer and we value prayer. And the reason why is because we understand its significance. We understand who we are praying to. We understand so much. And the reason why is because it is an expression of our soul. And the reason why is because we're looking at this life. And we understand that our dependence is based on the person to which we are devoted to and we are converted to, and His name is God. Our God has provided for us salvation. Our God has provided for us redemption. Our God has provided for us pardon and forgiveness and a life to come. Our God has given us the opportunity to serve Him. And so our God is going to help us from time to time when we are in need to escape this world in which we live. To understand that we can live in a world in which we understand that there's difference when it comes to how we live and who we live for. And folks, when you think about that, yes, this is a world of despair at times. If we have a God, we have the God, the only God that we can pray to. Now, we live in a religious world today. We also live in a secular world today. And we know that there are different groups who will pray just like you. You have those who call themselves Buddhist, and they pray based on the fact that they are going to do certain rituals. They're going to associate their prayer life with rituals. Then you have those secularists. Then you have those individuals say, you know, there's more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than this. But for some reason, they look at the Christian faith, they look at their Bible if they have one, they look at the Word of God, and they don't associate what we have, what you have, that's so important to us, that makes us have meaning and purpose. For us, we can go to the Word of God and find answers. But for some reason, they're not going to the Word of God to find answers to their prayers or whoever they're talking to. And so when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to moral matters, they're not finding the answer. And the answer is right here. God has revealed the answer to us. But then you have those who are agnostics and atheists. They simply speak to someone. No, they don't even believe there's someone. And so they don't have a relationship like you have. They don't have a belief like you have. Now, when it comes to the theology of prayer, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the necessity of prayer itself. And we're going to break this up in two parts. But today, I want us to also remember that even though we're going to look at this subject matter, there's some more that we're going to say, we're also going to look at, and we're going to discover together. The first one, of course, is the necessity of prayer, but also the basic parts of prayer, its power, and also its language. As I said before, I've been looking at this for some time now and developing these lessons. And so I thought appropriate that we begin a new year and start before the new year gets here to talk about this very important subject. So in our Christian lives, if we understand that there is the necessity of prayer, then I want you to know there is a connection to one's devotion, determination, doctrine, dependence on Him who is deity. Now, we're only going to take the time this morning to look at two, and that is our devotion when it comes to prayer, and also our determination when it comes to prayer. And so your sermon is only going to be 2 points today. You might get out a little early. Do you think so? Anyway. All right, let's talk about devotion. Now, do you have your Bibles? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts chapter 1. And you're going to notice there in the text something very important, because you're going to notice that Jesus Christ in the text is going to ascend, is ascending back to His Father from which He came. But before he does that, He actually spends some 40 days with the disciples and others, and especially these individuals, and He's given them specific instructions about their necessary stay in Jerusalem. 10 days are going to transpire. And during that particular time, you're going to see, while they are waiting for the Feast of Pentecost to come, something very important. And so if you have your Bible, notice what it says, beginning in verse 13 of Acts chapter 1. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter and James and John and Andrews and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Notice, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled." Now, when you look at this text and you read what is said here, it's obvious to me. I mean, there's no doubt to me. When I read what is said here in the text, that you have here an expression, but also you have here something that reveals to us when it says, notice in verse 14, continue with one accord in prayer. Now, the New American Standard says, continually devoting themselves. The American Standard says, continued steadfastly. I believe that it's very reasonable and logical when you look at the text that all of these people involved, when you read the text, they all understood the importance and the necessity of prayer. Is there any doubt that they were devoted to God? Is there any doubt that they were devoted to Jesus Christ? Is there any doubt that they were devoted to the One who is going to and did die for them? Well, I think as Christians, as believers, as readers, we can say, well, yes, they were devoted to Jesus Christ. Now, here's the question. The question is for you and for me is, how do we approach this subject of the necessity of prayer when it comes to our devotion? Now, I'm afraid, and I want you to listen very carefully. Go to the next one, Brother James. I want you to listen very carefully. Now, look up there. Some Christians approach the subject of prayer and it being necessary like they do the necessity of baptism. Now, follow me. I need your attention. When someone says to you, when it comes to a subject, any biblical subject, especially when it comes to the subject of the necessity of prayer, "Oh, he's okay. Why is he okay? Why is she okay?" Well, because that person is baptized. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with that expression. There's nothing wrong with saying, "Well, he's been baptized." But what they're doing sometimes, not everybody, they're referring to the fact that this person has been immersed in water. Or inferring that the only thing that was necessary when it comes to their soul salvation is baptism. Folks, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches there is a culmination of things that a person must do in order to be saved. Not just baptism. Because if it's just baptism, if that's the only thing that's necessary, you just went through let's just say, an act of the will of God or a condition that God has placed upon those who want to be saved, and they've left out many other things that God has required. Oh, by the way, the Bible requires and says you must, and it's a commandment, you must hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible also says you are commanded to not only hear, you are to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or you will die in your sin. Remember that? The Bible says also you must repent of your sins. He commands that in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 and 31. It is a commandment. You repent of your sins. But the Bible also says you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and other references as well. Now, again, all of those are necessary. And yes, the Bible says that baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. So it's a culmination of all those things in order for a person to be saved. And that's why in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4 and following, that's why when a person is baptized in the likeness of the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when they are immersed in water, the water didn't save them. What saved them, folks? We learned this the other day. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saved you. You're simply just acting upon what God has told you to do. You are obeying by faith what God has told you to do. It's a culmination of all those things. And when you do all those things, that's when the Bible says there's remission of sins, and that's when there is a newness of life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. So my friends, when you think about it, when you approach the subject of prayer and the necessity of prayer, you might say, like you say with baptism, oh, he's been baptized. That's all there is to it. No, there's more to it. Folks, when you think about the necessity and the importance of prayer, you must also remember that there is true conversion that takes place. And each of those acts of obedience, you do them with a submissive heart, not for the sake of just doing them. You are converted. You are convinced. You know those words that God has spoken about those things is true. And that's why babies are not to be baptized or sprinkled or poured. Why? Because they cannot hear and they cannot understand what is being said to them, and they cannot hear and understand the truth about the subject of baptism or what it means when they say, okay, I must believe in Jesus. Or I must repent of my sins or confess that He is the Son of God, Jesus. Don't you see, the heart has to be a part of the process. A sinner does them because they are convinced in their heart and believe in their heart that what God revealed about His Son being the Savior of the world is true. And that, my friend, is true conversion. Now, when it comes to the subject of prayer, it is a reflection of a person's conversion to the Lord based on what he believes and based on what he knows and based on what he understands. Now, in your Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 1, notice what Peter says beginning in verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these times for you, who brought Him, who through Him believed in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, if you believe that, my friend, you understand what Peter is saying there to you today. Then you understand that baptism without conversion is meaningless, just as prayer is meaningless if there is not devotion in your heart. Now, the reason why I say that, in John chapter 8 and verse 47, we have an example here of individuals all along in the life of Jesus, for many different reasons, I don't have time to get into it, but they despised Him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious elite, they were not on the side of Jesus. They did not recognize Him as the Son of God or the Messiah. And Jesus knew that. But I want you to notice in John chapter 8, before you get to verse 24, by the way, or rather, back to verse 24, notice what is said in verse 47. He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear. Why? Because you're not of God. If you're truly of God and know God and understand and have a will towards understanding God, then guess what? You're going to hear His word. And if you're not going to hear His word, then that simply means, folks, you're not going to be devoted. Prayer is connected to understanding and devotion to the one that is speaking and revealing to you the truth. And that's why when you go back to verse 25 of this same text, it says, "Then they said to Him, 'Who are you?' And Jesus said, 'Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to judge concerning you, but He who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from Him.'" You see, folks, they refused to understand and devote themselves to Jesus Christ and His words. And of course, because of that, they found themselves in a situation where they hardened their hearts. And so when you believe and you're devoted to the Lord, believing in the one that you're devoted to, you're going to steadfastly continue in prayer on a daily basis if you desire to. You're going to pray as often as you can. The reason why is because you have a devotion and a commitment to God. But also, number two, I want you to think about the word, not only devotion, I want you to think about the word determination. By the way, if you're devoted to something, I guarantee you, you're going to be determined. Now, there is a connection there, and I think you can see that. So the necessity of prayer in life of the person that is saved, a believer, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is in relationship to determination. Now, folks, every devoted Christian depends on the Lord. And every Christian depends on the fact that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness that you see there in those verses. And because of that, you can depend, but also you have a dependence, and you also know the presence of God is with you in your life. Look over, if you will, to the fifth chapter and notice what he says in verse 5. Notice what he says in verse 6 and 7. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Notice, "casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." Now, obviously, that has to do with prayer. That has to do with your devotion, but also your determination to go to your God and to pray to your God. That's why when Paul was in prison, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." That's determination. Why do I say that? Because where's Paul? He's in prison. He's in a place where you would not want to be. You can't imagine what the conditions were. But even though he's in those conditions and that place, under those circumstances, what's he doing? He's writing to these brethren, as he wrote to the brethren in Colossae and Ephesus, believers who are going through same things in that they were being persecuted for their walk in Jesus Christ as well. So here's the question mark that I want to ask this morning. What should a Christian do? Paul, you find yourself in this situation. You find yourself in a dire need. You find yourself in a situation. Hey, guess what? The world is going to put you in a situation sometimes that is just simply unjust, unfair, and downright evil. And I think you would agree that the Apostle Paul was finding himself in that same thing. He could say, "This is unjust. This is not fair. What they are doing to me is simply evil." Now, if that is the case, there's a couple things I want to bring to your mind, and then we'll close. Number one, I want you to turn to this verse. You can look at it yourself. It's in your handouts. Do you believe what Peter says there? For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That's you. That simply means you're doing right. You're seeking to do right as a child of God. And His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, if you believe that as a believer in Christ, you have two options. You find yourself in a circumstance or situation unjust, unfair, downright evil, and you're asking God, you're asking, what can I do? Well, believe this verse. And if you believe this verse, you're going to do several things. You're going to go to your God on your knees and you're going to say, please God, give me wisdom. Please God, give me courage. Please God, give me the perseverance I need. Please God, give me the guidance that I need as a believer. That's why James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, we don't have the time to read that whole text, but I want you to read it later on. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 8, you're going to find that there James says, if you need prayer, ask for it. Don't be a doubting person. You ask for prayer. If you want guidance, ask for it. If you want courage, ask for it. If you want perseverance, ask for it. Now, if you're asking for patience, guess what? Oh my goodness. He might put you in a situation to teach you something about patience. So you have that option. Now, if you choose to say, no, I don't need that. I'm not going in that direction. I'm not going to pray for God's wisdom. Well, guess what? If you choose not, you'll receive not. If you would choose not to do this, to go in that direction, the question is, to whom will you go? Remember in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 68 and also verse 69. Before that, you have the disciples. You have many others who have walked away from Jesus. But Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There are those who were convinced that He was, but then they turned, and then they walked away with Him no more. But you still have these disciples, and they're still there. And Peter asked that very important question, to whom shall we go? So if you're in those situations, by the way, where are you going to go? And if you don't go anywhere, if you don't go to your Heavenly Father, you see, your first option was the best one. And by the way, if you have devotion and dependence and determination, and you understand that God sees you and hears you, you can fall into a circumstance and you can ask God to help you through that circumstance. But here's the point, folks, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Here's the third reason I want you to determine that you're going to respond to your God, because you believe every word that Peter says in chapter 3 and verse 12. The fact is, the Lord is on your side. I hope you understand, if you walk away today, not listen to anything, but you listen to this today, I want you to understand that the Lord is on your side. And if you believe that, you don't have to doubt. You don't have to be fearful. If you know the Lord is on your side, and you have a willful heart and a willful belief in God and in prayer, that He's going to hear your request and answer your request, you can come to your God with devotion and determination and prayer, and you can pray the same prayer that Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Now, later on in this series, we're going to look at this prayer by Paul, and we're going to dissect it as much as we can. But today, I'm going to just remind you of something. He says, now to Him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all. Go back. To exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory, notice, in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Now, you look at that verse. Now, go to the next one. Notice what it says. If you outline that text, to just kind of simply outline it, what do you have? Now, unto Him that is able to do all, above all, abundantly above all. Exceedingly abundantly above all. Is there any doubt? When it comes to the power of God, that's not today's lesson. That's a lesson to come. Do you really believe in your Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Do you believe the Lord God, your Father, is on your side? Do you believe the Lord God, Jesus Christ, is on your side? Do you believe the Lord God, that the Holy Spirit is on your side? If you do, it goes without saying, I believe in the necessity of prayer. Because I'm devoted and I'm determined and no one is going to change my mind on this subject. Now, folks, that's the theology of prayer. That's just the beginning. That's the hem of the garment. My prayer today, if you're here and you're not a Christian, for you to realize and understand that there's power in the blood of Jesus. Just like there's power in prayer, there's power in the blood of Jesus. He can cleanse you from your sins. When you come to Jesus believing that He is the Son of God, based on you know the Word, you've read the Word, you've heard the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, which leads you to understand the Bible teaches you must believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God. I want to turn from my sins, the Bible teaches. I want to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Bible teaches. I want to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of my sin. The Bible teaches that you'll be washed in the blood of Jesus, the most powerful thing in the world, that will take away all your sins. You need prayer? You need help? Where are you going to get it? If you need anything today, please come. We're going to sing this song.